dies, and Joshua is raised up to replace Moses. He's given the exact same authority as Moses, but he's given a very specific mission. He's told, go in and take the land, for by you, Joshua, I will fulfill the promises that I made to Abraham so long ago to give this land to his family. And then Joshua is given some great and mighty promises. He's told by the Lord, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will go with you wherever you go. And so be strong, be courageous, for you are my man to give my people my gifts. And of course Joshua is the Lord's man. His name, after all, is the Lord's name, because Joshua and Jesus are really the same name. They come from the same Hebrew word, Yehoshua. That's the Hebrew origin of both names, Yehoshua. And it means the Lord is salvation. That's what that name means. So of course he's the Lord's man to give salvation, to make good on the Lord's promises. For the Lord is salvation. That's who the Lord is. And the Lord uses Joshua now in this instance, the story we heard about this morning, to deliver his salvation to his people. But one day later, the Lord would take on flesh to make good on that name, becoming the salvation of all mankind. And so Moses could not lead them into the land. Why? Because Moses had received the Ten Commandments. And what do the Ten Commandments do? They show us our sin. Of course, Moses had preached many gospel promises of God also, but the Ten Commandments show us our sin, and no one is justified by the law. And Moses, therefore, because of God's law, and because of the way that the Israelites continuously broke God's law, he had to repeatedly intercede for this wayward people before the Lord on account of their sin. But since you and I cannot by our own reason and strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him, just as the Ten Commandments clearly show us, they, like we, needed a Savior. They needed a Yehoshua. And so that's where our story starts today. It starts with the Lord saying, in 3 days, it'll happen, Joshua. And of course, three, right? And instantly your brain pops, oh, three. Three is the number of the Lord's salvation. And all throughout the Bible, 3 days are days of the Lord's saving action. And of course, the greatest of the Lord's saving actions was when the Lord himself rose in victory on the 3rd day over sin and death for all mankind. But in this story today, this 3rd day, he'll lead them into the land he promised to give them. And so the Lord gives promises to Joshua. He says this, he says, wherever you set your foot, there I have given you the land. And this is an ancient concept, that if the land is yours, you actually walk on it. You actually know it and have set foot on it, that wherever you walk, you claim the land. Now, I've heard even from some of you Finlanders that there's a bit of a concept like this that kind of goes around in the back of your mind, that if you got some land, you should know your land, right? You should walk the corners of your land maybe once a year or so. I don't know. I'm not sure if all of you Finlanders believe that, but I don't know. I hear that from Shane every now and then. He's got to get out there to the back corners of his property, he says. So anyway, it's a kind of a similar idea, you know? And that's exactly what we saw Abraham do during his life. The Bible refers to him as a wandering Aramean, someone who never really had a fixed home. He tread all over the land. The land that the Lord was now giving to his descendants, the very same land that the Lord now promised Joshua, that wherever he treads there, the Lord has already given him the land. And this is the exact same reason then why after our Lord, after Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, he doesn't just set up shop somewhere, you know, at a big crossroads kind of thing where all the people from all over can come and flock to him, you know, maybe some kind of big stadium place where people can come and listen to him preach. He doesn't just do that. People would have done it. They did it for John the Baptist. They did it for so many others. Went all over the world to hear certain famous speakers preach and speak. But Jesus doesn't do that. No, he goes into the land to conquer it spiritually, walking its length and its breadth and visiting all of its towns and preaching all along the way and claiming it for himself. And this is a theme throughout the Bible. Right from the very first promise of Eve, to Eve, of the Savior. Remember that promise? Genesis 3:15, that promise. One of your sons will crush the head of the serpent who brought sin into the world. Meanwhile, what will the serpent do? The serpent will bite his heel. So, what was it that the Savior would crush the head of the serpent with? With his foot. With his foot. What is it that Joshua then is going to conquer the land with? With his foot. Wherever he treads, wherever he walks, there the Lord has already given him the land. With his feet, he'll conquer it. In Romans 16, it talks about us treading down Satan under our feet. Interesting tie-in to this here. Now, hundreds of years after Joshua, the prophet Isaiah said, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news." And they're beautiful feet, ugly, smelly, stinky feet. They're beautiful because wherever those good news preachers go, they are claiming for the Lord every place where they set their feet and preach that good news. And this is another reason then why the Lord came in the flesh. To claim, we who are made of flesh, to walk in our land and claim it, to walk a mile in our shoes and claim our sins, to get into us by his body and blood and claim us body and soul. And it's how the Word made flesh brought faith to his people in his day, by sending out preachers who would go and preach, and it's how he still works to this day. And so, what is Joshua then, when you're reading between the lines here, what is Joshua sent to do? He's not just sent to be a military leader, but a wandering preacher. Exactly. Preaching to any who will listen, preaching salvation in the name of the Lord. And thus, as he speaks the Lord's word to his own people, his people hear him. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, they believe. They hear what he says. And so despite their sin, their rebellion, which they struggle with each and every single day, which they saw their parents all throughout the 40 years of their wilderness wandering, struggling with, despite all that, knowing that there are rebellious people, knowing that they won't listen to what Joshua says and that they'll rebel against it, despite that, in faith, they promised to be faithful to all that Joshua said. For faith comes by hearing the word of Jesus. And that's what they heard from Joshua's mouth. They heard the Lord's word, Jesus' word. And so, just like at the beginning of the 40 years of in the wilderness, when Joshua was sent in as one of the 12 spies to spy out the land, now he sends in spies again. But did you notice how many it was? It wasn't 12 this time. It was just two, just like the two faithful spies way back when, right? It was only Joshua and Caleb 40 years earlier who'd been faithful, who said, "Yeah, we could take this land, the Lord is with us." But now, two faithful spies are sent, not to spy out the land in general, but Jericho specifically. And so they come to Jericho, spying and witnessing of the Lord. And whom do they meet? They meet Rahab, a woman of the night, and they go to her house. Now, normally, two men going to her house would mean something different, wouldn't it? But in this situation, they are sent as spies. They're sent as agents of the Lord to bring salvation to his people and to all who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call unto salvation by his mighty word. And so, lo and behold, what happens? This woman of the night, she repents of her ways. She repents of her city's wicked ways. She turns her back on it. And in faith, she confesses to the spies that everybody in the land has heard of their God, the Lord. that they all know what he did to Egypt and to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan. She confesses everybody is scared, but she isn't scared. Why? Because she has faith. She says, their God is the God of heaven and earth. He's the only God, the true God, the God of salvation for those who trust in him. And so she asks them for mercy. And in faith, what does she do? She hides them. She helps them. She advises them. She saves them. And did you notice how she said, stay up in the hills 3 days? You know, it's not just a pragmatic number. It's going to take 3 days for those guys to go search out things. And so you need 3 days. No, it's not just that. It's also, you know, ding, 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 3 days. She's saving them. Here we go. And so like true agents of the Lord, what do they do for her? They grant unto her a promise of salvation for her and for her family. And they say, here, take this scarlet cord and hang it in your window, and all who are in your house will escape the coming judgment. Just as the Israelites themselves, some 40 years earlier, had taken scarlet blood and put it on the doorposts, the door frame of their houses during that first Passover to escape the coming judgment. And they said, just make sure, like us before you, just make sure to stay indoors when the judgment happens. Don't go out. Because inside of this house with the scarlet cord in the window, the same window that you're going to let us down out of, inside of this house you'll be safe. You'll be passed over by the judgment that's coming on this city. And of course, for those of you who know how the Lord gave the Israelites victory over Jericho, you might have clicked in and said, wow, that's a pretty amazing promise that these guys just gave to her. Because where's her house? It's in the wall. Her house is literally built into the very wall of the city. That's why she can let them down through the wall, because her window's in the wall of the city. And how does the Lord triumph over Jericho? By knocking the walls down miraculously so that the Israelites can go in and invade the city and capture it. So this is a pretty impressive thing. This scarlet cord that you hang there, this faith that you have in the Lord, it will save you and all who are in your house. It'll save your house, which is in the very wall. This is the only part of the wall that's not going to fall down. And so these men sent by Jesus, Joshua, these men, they bring salvation to them who, in hearing of the Lord, trust in him and have faith. And if you don't know, this Gentile sinner, this Rahab, she ends up becoming part of their nation. She marries a man of the tribe of Judah, and they settle around Bethlehem. And she births a man named Boaz, who marries a woman named Ruth. We'll hear about that in about a month's time. And she marries Ruth, and she even ends up becoming then the great-great-grandmother of who? Of King David himself. And this is the role that this former woman of the night plays in the Lord's plan of salvation for the whole world. And so, by extension, being the great-great-grandmother of David, she is an ancestor of our Lord, of Jesus himself. For the Lord's salvation is not for one nation or another. The Lord's salvation is not for those who deserve it by their good life. The Lord's salvation is for sinners like you and me. It comes to you through his word of promise, the word of Jesus, which repents you of your past, forgives you, and sets you free for your present, and promises you a new and a glorious land in your future. The Lord's grace kills who you were, and it raises you up new. It doesn't do it by the law of Moses, which only has the power to condemn you as the wicked and perverse thing that you are. It raises you up new in Christ by the power of his word, which created all things and forgives all things and led the Israelites into the land. For who is this Lord? He is salvation. and he gives you victory over what you have no power over in your life. He gives you his righteousness when your own goodness is gone. He is your Joshua who has conquered your enemies and granted unto you a home in his eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.